And we saw that light, if we live in the light, then that light illuminates the darkness in us. And probably the most important part of that whole section was that when that light illuminates the darkness and we have that sin, that each and every and all sin is covered by the blood of Jesus. And that was in verse 7. So we're going to pick up in verse 8 today. And it is up here behind me, but you can turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 8. We're going all the way to the end of the chapter. So starting in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So let's kind of work our way through this verse by verse. First, he says, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. That word for sin there is in the singular, you notice. It's not talking about individual acts of sin. It's talking about our sin nature. We are born with a sin nature so bent towards sin that sin is inevitable. Romans talks about this. Paul talks about it in Romans 5. He talks about how we have inherited this sin nature from Adam. Now, Paul is really in Romans 5, and what John has to say here really only confirms what we already know, because we know we are born selfish, right? We know this. Have you ever in your life heard a toddler go, "Mine!" Then you know what this is talking about. We are born, we don't teach our children, our toddlers, to be selfish. We teach them to share. We teach them to look out for other people, not to look out for themselves, because it is natural for us. It is our sin nature that we start with, how does this affect me? What does this do to me? We start with the basis of looking out for ourselves. How does this affect me? What does this do for me? What does this do to me? Is where we start in everything. That's our sin nature. The one that Paul talked about in Romans 5. The one that John is talking about here when he says we have no sin. He's talking about our sin nature. If we say we have no sin nature, then we're deceiving ourselves. Who are we deceiving? Our family, right? Our family. We're deceiving our family. We're deceiving our friends. It actually says we're deceiving only ourselves. You're only fooling yourself if you think you don't have this sin nature. You're only fooling yourself. Everybody else can see it. We talk about how actions speak louder than words, right? People see what you do, and they see your sin nature. They see how we look at everything, how we judge everything by how it affects us. We see that. It's easily seen. So when we say that doesn't happen, that I'm not that way, the only one deceived is you. The only one that's deceived, is, according to John, is ourselves. And this again is in the present active. So he's saying not that we once say, I don't have that. It's that we continually say that. We are denying. It would be the way I would translate that. So if we live continually denying that we have this sin nature, then we are deceiving ourselves. We have a nature so bent towards sin that sin is inevitable. Now, there are those that believe Paul says that we inherited that from Adam. There are those that believe that we also inherit the guilt of Adam's sin. I don't. As Baptists, we believe that we inherited that nature, but then we go out and choose sin because of that nature, and we're guilty of our own sin. We're not guilty of Adam's sin. We're guilty of our own. because each and every one of us here have at some point chosen sin. We've chosen it. Our sin nature led us to it, and we chose it. We decided we'd do it. So John says we're only deceiving ourselves, and then he says that the truth is not in us. Now, he said last week that if we live in the darkness, then we can't have fellowship with the light. Now he's saying that if we're living in this state of denial, then we can't have fellowship with the truth. The truth is not in us. If we are saying that we don't have this sin nature, if we say that we don't have this problem, I'm not selfish, never. If we actually think that and continue to deny our sin nature, our selfish nature, then not only are we deceiving ourselves, but we are breaking fellowship with the truth. That's what John tells us here. We're breaking fellowship with the truth. We can't have fellowship with the light if we're living in the darkness. We can't have fellowship with the truth if we're living in denial. Think about the story of Isaiah in chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. You've all heard it. Isaiah sees God on his throne. I see the Lord seated on his throne, exalted. And what does this vision of God cause Isaiah to do? The first thing he does is he sees himself in light of who God is. He says, "Woe is me, for I am ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." Isaiah understands who he is when he sees God. That's what John is talking about here. When we understand God, when we see God for who he is, we will see ourselves for who we are. And who we are isn't so great. The entirety of the Bible is about this. The entirety of the Bible is about how we are sinners in need of a Savior. It is God's dealing with us as sinners who need a Savior. That's the entire Bible. Old Testament to New Testament, that's what it says. Genesis to maps, that's what it's telling us. We need a Savior. John is telling us that here. We need a Savior. We need a Savior because we have this problem. And so, having presented this sin problem, this sin nature, John gives us the cure. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous or just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, that phrase has more of the force of a command. It's really more, you should be confessing your sins. You ought to be confessing your sins. It has more of the force of a command. And it is in the present active, so it's not a one-time thing. It is an ongoing process. We talked about the process a little bit last week, how the light of God illuminates us, finds the darkness. We confess that darkness. Jesus forgives our sin, forgives our darkness, and we are cleansed from it. That's this continual process that we're in, the sanctification process that we're in. He says that we confess, continually confess our sin, and we are continually forgiven. And the Greek word used for confess is different than the English word for confess. When I say something like confess in English, we think it's admitting to wrong, right? We think I'm admitting that I did this wrong. That's not actually what the Greek word means. What the Greek word means is to say the same as. It's to acknowledge. It isn't that you're admitting to God that you did something wrong. He already knows. You're just agreeing with God that what you did was sin. You're agreeing with God. So it's to speak the same as. So it's maybe a better English word would be acknowledge. We just acknowledge our sin to God. We continually acknowledge, speak the same as God, agree with God that it's sin. Now, think about that. Think about how that just that little bit of a shift shifts everything. Excuse me. Because now we're saying that what God says is sin is. We're just agreeing with him. It isn't on us to decide. We don't get to decide what sin, what is sin and what isn't. God's already done that. So all we're doing is speaking the same as. We're just agreeing with God. That's sin. God, I agree with you that what I did was against your word. It's against your teachings. It's against who you are. That's what confess literally means. And then when he says sins here, he is talking about individual acts of sin. So he's covered the sin nature in verse 8. Now he's talking about, in verse 9, he's talking about individual acts of sin. Like verse 7 that told us each and every and all sin is covered by the blood of Christ. Now he's saying each and every and all sin needs to be confessed. It needs to be confessed. We simply acknowledge to God that, speak the same as God. I agree with you, God, that what I did was sin. That's what confession is, according to John. So we continually acknowledge to God our sinful actions. And then there's some really good news, because it says he forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. God not only forgives our sin, he takes away the guilt. He takes away the shame. He takes away, all of that went to the cross. Your guilt for your sin went to the cross with Christ. Your shame for sin went to the cross with Christ, with the sin that it was attached to. So we don't walk around guilty lives. Too many Christians walk around with this look on their face like they're guilty all the time. You're not. Acknowledge your sin, be forgiven, and that sin is wiped away, including the shame and guilt that go with it. All of it gone. All of it wiped away. So another strange part of Greek and Hebrew, there's really not a word for forgive in Greek or in Hebrew. So in the Old Testament, when it talks about forgive, and in the New Testament in the Greek, when it talks about forgive, there's not really a word for forgive. What there is a word for, the word that's used here, is to release. You're released from your sin. Released. That tells us that sin has power. That tells us that sin has a barb in it. And it hooks into us. And the more we sin, the deeper that barb gets. The more that power gets. If we think that we are above our sin, if we think that we don't need a Savior because we have this under control, we are denying the truth. We are not in fellowship with the truth, and we are deceiving only ourselves. We confess our sin. We speak the same as God. We agree with God that it's sin. And then he wipes it away. He forgives it. He cleanses us. He releases us from our sin and from the power of that sin. This is really incredible depth in one verse. And then perhaps the most important part of this verse. It says, he is faithful and righteous to forgive. Does it say that if you're righteous, he'll forgive you? No. Does it say that if you're faithful, he'll forgive you? No. It says it's based on his faithfulness and his righteousness. His. Because who God is faithful. Because who God is righteous, he forgives. As I said earlier, almost all of the Bible is about God's dealing with us on the basis of our sinners in need of a Savior. Almost the entire Bible is about this. And so, we say, well, God can't forgive me because I've been unfaithful again. That's not what this verse says. This verse says God's righteous, God's faithful. Because of who he is, he forgives us. Not because of who we are. Because of what he's done, he forgives us. Not because of what we've done. It doesn't matter what your sin is. And it doesn't matter how long ago your sin was. 10 years or 10 minutes ago. What matters is that we agree with God that it's sin. And because of who he is, he forgives it. Because he is faithful, because he is righteous or just, he forgives it. He's faithful, even when we're not. We see that constantly through Scripture, don't we? All the way through the Old Testament. We see the people of God going astray and God remaining faithful. God is always remaining faithful. And because he's faithful, he forgives. Because he said he would, he does. And he says, John tells us also that it's just or righteous for God to forgive. It's just or righteous because God paid the penalty. Christ paid for your sin. God does not want to extract a little more payment out of you. It's paid for. As the song we sang today says, it's finished on that cross. Finished. And so he's not trying to extract a little more payment out of you. He is simply asking you to acknowledge, to admit, to speak the same as, to agree with God that it's sin. And then he, because of who he is, his faithfulness, his righteousness, he forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The shame, the guilt, everything gone with the forgiveness. Released all of it. And then verse 10 kind of ties this together. It says, if we have not sinned, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Wait, we make God a liar if we say we don't need a Savior. We make God a liar if we say we don't have sin. We don't have a sin problem. We don't need a Savior. We make God a liar. How is that true? Because all of this is about our need for a Savior. All of this. It's about how we have a sin problem. We have a sin nature so bent towards sin that sin is inevitable. And then we choose sin. And we have sin and guilt from what we've chosen. All of Scripture tells us this. So when we say we don't need a Savior, when we say we don't have sin, we make God a liar because he wrote this. Would you make God a liar and say you don't need Christ? That's what John's telling us. So think about this chapter as a to summarize. Think about what he's told us in this chapter. He's told us that Jesus came as a man, that God came in human form, that John saw him and heard him and touched him, and he saw him and could still see him in his mind's eye. He heard him and can still hear him ringing in his ear, and that Jesus himself is eternal life. That's what John has told us up to this point. Then he says that God is light, so if we're living in the light, we're living with God. If we're living in the darkness, we are not in fellowship with God. And we talked last week about how easy it is to break fellowship with God and break fellowship with the people of God. That's the first thing we do. It's what Adam and Eve did. They hid from God. The first sin, they hid from God. Like that's possible, right? But they hid from God. We run from God. We decide, well, I'm not going to go to church because those folks, they might find out about me. They might find out who I really am. Who you really are is forgiven in Christ. Who you really are is a beloved child of God, forgiven, wiped clean by the blood of Christ, each and every sin. That's who you are. And so he's told us that we live in the light, that Christianity cannot be separated from Christian behavior. But when it is, when we do non-Christian things, then we speak the same as God. We agree with God. That I shouldn't have done. That I shouldn't have thought. That I shouldn't have said. And when we do that, because of who God is, we're forgiven. Because of who God is, not because of who we are. Not based on how faithful we are. Not based on faith, on how righteous we are. Based entirely on who God is. Because He is faithful and He is righteous. John gives us all of this in just the first chapter of this letter. That's why we're going so slow. Because there's so much here. There's so much in the language. There's so much that we really must grasp. Would you say you don't need a Savior? Would you say you don't have sin? Because in doing so, you're deceiving yourself and calling God a liar. Or would you say, I have sin? I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm going to ask that you bow your heads. And I just want you to consider that question. Are you a sinner in need of a Savior? Because your price is fully paid on that cross. Fully paid. So it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are now. You can become forgiven. You can become a beloved child of God who God looks at through the blood of Christ. We simply acknowledge to God, speak the same as, agree with God. We have sin in our life. God, I have sin in my life. I've done things wrong. I've said things wrong. I've thought things wrong. And I know the Bible calls that sin. But I trust that Jesus died on that cross to pay my price. So I ask you to forgive me, not because of how faithful or righteous I am, but because of who you are and the finished work of Jesus on the cross. If you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, you can let somebody know. Come and let me know. Elbow your neighbor, let them know. Maybe this morning you're understanding that the darkness is kind of drawing you away. Take this moment right here to speak the same as God. Agree with God that you have darkness in you that needs to be burned away by His light, that needs to be forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank You for this, Your word. We thank You, Father, for forgiveness based not on who we are or what we do, but on who You are and what You've done. Forgive us for our failures. Burn the darkness out of us with Your light. We thank You.